In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We have come to that time of year when there are clear and unmistakable markers that the season has changed. Of course, the longer days, the warmer temperatures, the snow melting, daylight saving time. Might even start to see some green in the trees and in the flowers and in the grass in the next few weeks. And we know that we have turned that corner into spring. We've had officially the first day of spring, and so it's just going to get nicer. Well, another, you know, as we list those markers, of course, we've talked about this many times before. You know that, you know, pitchers and catchers reported at the end of February, and that spring training games have been going on for 3 weeks now. Opening day is coming. What a glorious Easter it's going to be. We get to celebrate Easter Sunday and then opening day of the baseball season Sunday night as the Cardinals play the Cubs. And then I'm sure all of you have taken Monday off so that you can watch all of the games on television, because there will be games will start at noon, and they'll have a game at noon, one at 3, one at 6, and another one at 9. It's a glorious day. We love Easter, don't we? Well, another marker of spring is, of course, something that we all experience, and that's called the baseball interview. If you've watched any of the spring training games or any of the news in their interview, some of the players, and I feel sorry for these reporters because, quite frankly, a lot of these ball players, their skill is playing baseball. Absolutely. That is their God-given talent. With many of them, it's not in public speaking. It's not in interviews. And for a number of them, it's actually not talking with other people at all. And I saw one of those this very morning. So, John, how are you feeling this spring? You know, you're looking pretty good out there. Looks like the swing's coming along. The speed's great, you know. And you're going to pick up where you left off last year because you were having a great year.
Yeah.
Well, do you think you're going to try to hit to the ball the opposite field and try to leg out a couple of extra doubles this year? Because it seems like you're spraying the ball a little bit all over the diamond here this spring training.
Well, you want to play good.
So what did you do to get ready for this off season? Did you do a lot of weight training? Did you do, you know, sprints? Or how did you keep yourself in shape?
Well, you know, you got to work out.
And these poor, I mean, it's like, they might as well go with dental tools, because it's like pulling teeth with some of these guys. And they have no clue how to articulate their craft. Someone should coach them into doing that. But over and over again, and, you know, I always say, you know, Lord, I'm so glad that you blessed this person with the ability to play baseball, because that looks like about all they can manage. But we see that all through any sporting season, really. You know, what's that line in that one movie? You know, they ask them, you know, about how they're playing. And, you know, you want to play good. You try to play good. I think we played pretty good. You know. Or you want to go out and give it 110%. Well, okay, well, that's good, you know, because nobody ever gets in an interview and says, you know, I want to go out and give it about 65% today. Nobody ever says stuff like that, you know. We're all in this together, you know. There's no M in team or whatever it is they say, you know. They always say stuff like that. They need to be able to articulate their craft. And it's a good lesson for us, because we have to be able to do the same thing. but not necessarily with our craft, but with our faith. And what made me think of this was the story that Beth told that many of us know already. She had this little blurb up on Facebook of an experience she had at, I believe, a Walmart, right? And she may be able to tell it better than I, but I don't relinquish the microphone to anybody. So, she's in line. I know that's terrible. She's in line at Walmart, and this woman ahead of her gets in line and starts laying into this high school kid, probably.
Said he was 16.
Okay. Asking, you know, him if he knows Jesus. Have you been saved? Just kind of giving him this rapid fire path to salvation. Repeat after me the sinner's prayer. Now you're in and you made it. And that poor kid had to be shaken in his boots. Accosted by this well-intentioned individual. And I wonder where that young man is today. You know, interesting. Where was his faith, or did he have any faith? Did he be, you know, was he being raised in the church? You know, was he being taught anything? Where he was before that moment, and where is he now after that moment, particularly with his understanding and his view of Jesus, of the church, of God in his life. You know. He's probably still talking about that, or maybe afraid to talk about it. I don't know. But he was accosted by this well-meaning individual that, you know, had him there as a captive audience. All he's trying to do is, you know, check out her groceries. And she's letting him have it. And why I put these two things together is I have known people like that, and I understand this zealous desire to bring people to the faith and how people sometimes get attacked by that. And or sometimes people get so excited about it that they're just so forceful with it and maybe so knowledgeable that they're intimidating. And then there's the extreme of the baseball player that can't tell you anything about what he does. And we as Christians, I believe, have to be somewhere in the middle of that to truly bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. I want to pause here for 10 seconds to ask someone to go. I think the chair is at the bottom of the stairs. It's up. Will you make sure it's, I hear the beeping. Will you make sure that it's on the charger? Last thing we want is for that not to be working at the end of our Mass today. When you hear that beeping, it means the chair's not seated in the charger. So anybody that can help, it's much appreciated. So we need to be in the middle, I believe, somewhere. We need to show forth in our lives what we profess with our mouths. We need to show people Jesus Christ by how we live our lives. We have a faith that we can bring forth to other people. And they need to look at us and see that faith. Make sense? And I don't think there's a lot of value personally in going around with a floppy Bible and asking people if they're saved. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Because if you don't, this is going to hurt. It's almost that way. And it's every denomination, you know, there isn't one out there that doesn't do it. Don't misunderstand, I'm poking as much fun and criticizing the Charismatic Episcopal Church as I am any other denomination. We've got people out there with their floppy Bibles and they're trying to beat people over the head to salvation. And I can tell you that it really doesn't produce anything. You might get a 16-year-old man at Walmart to say the sinner's prayer, but does that person know Jesus Christ? Is he truly being introduced to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? Does he see Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by the way that you're dealing with them? And that may be the best way to evaluate oneself. Now, again, that's one extreme. The other extreme is on the side of, you know, we look like the baseball player in the interview where somebody asks us about our faith and we go, it's good. Faith is good. But what does your church believe? Well, we, oh, this and that. And we can't, you know, articulate anything. And what we need to do is to be able to ask a few questions or at least show people in our life, you know, why do you do what you do? Well, I mostly do what I do because I believe this. I do what I do because Jesus loves me and I love Him. And because He went up and hung on a cross so that I don't have to. You don't need to be a theologian. You don't need to have degrees, seminary degrees, or Bible college degrees, or anything like that, to simply tell people that, you know what? I have a relationship with God who loves me. We need to be able, to some degree, to defend, explain, and share our faith. To defend our faith at those times when the world around us would say, well, I mean any number of things. We have from God is dead to God allows anything. Well, God's not dead. I talked to Him this morning. Love that line in the song. God doesn't allow anything because God has established a plan for us by which we're supposed to live our lives, and that plan brings us life fully and abundantly. We recited the Ten Commandments here a couple of Sundays ago, and the Ten Commandments are about how we're supposed to live in relationship to God and in relationship with one another. God has a plan for humanity. And when we embrace that plan, that's when, you know, Jesus in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. God wants you to have a good, joyful, wonderful life. But it has to be in relationship with everybody else. That's why one of the commandments is thou shalt not steal. Because while you're stealing might actually get you a lot of neat stuff, it hurts somebody else. But if all of us were to embrace that and nobody ever stole from anybody, wouldn't life be that much more wonderful? But you've been on the end of that. I'm not saying, maybe not the end of having stolen, hopefully, but you know, most of us have had something taken from us. And how does that make you feel? Makes you feel pretty lousy. Makes you feel violated. You're hurt. You're angry. And that's why God says, thou shalt not steal. Not because He doesn't want you to have stuff. He doesn't want you to have somebody else's stuff. Not because He doesn't want you to be happy. It's because He wants all of us to be happy in relationship with Him. Imagine a world where we didn't have to lock doors and where we didn't have to put our names on things and that kind of stuff. You know, what would life be like, you know, if everybody thought about everybody else first? Then the thing that popped into my head, I just was in St. Louis visiting my folks. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't have to deal with TSA? We didn't have to go through and have all our stuff examined. You know? But that's not the world we live in. Because there is sin in this world. There is a fallen humanity that puts itself and its own desires above those of other people. That violates those commandments and doesn't live how God wants them to live. So we have to be able to defend our faith, to say, I believe what I believe because, first of all, God wrote it in His Word. Second of all, it has to do with how we deal with one another. And it has to do with how I deal and go back and forth with my God who loves me. And then we have to be able to explain our faith. Well, why do you go to that church? Oh, we have a fantastic church. Man, the sermons are absolutely wonderful. I've heard so many people say that. When they're telling me where they went when they were on vacation. We have to be able to explain why we do what we do. Don't be like the baseball player. Boy, your swing looks really good this year. Why is that? Well, it's because I have the bat. And when they throw the ball at me, I try to hit it. Why do you go to that church? Well, because Father Chris is there. And they have a bell. I mean, come on. We need to be able to explain why we believe. I go to that church because it's a church that believes the Bible. It believes what God has to say. It supports me. They pray for me. It revitalizes me and refreshes and renews me. And if that's not this church, then something's wrong with this church. But we have to be able to say to somebody, you know, that this is why I do it. It's because I go and I receive the body and blood of Jesus. Well, why is that the body and blood of Jesus? It's because right here in this book, Jesus said the words, "This is my body." He didn't say, "This looks like my body. Think of this as my body. This piece of bread will represent my body." He said, "This is my body." So we believe, "This is my body." We believe it. That's why I go to this church, because they believe that when Jesus said, "This is my body," that's what he meant. That's why we do what we do. And then we need to be able to share our faith, not like the lady at Walmart. The more people you can pound on the head with a floppy Bible, you know, the more notches you get on your belt. Well, that's not, I mean, what good does that do? But when people see your life being lived as a life, as a person who believes in Jesus Christ, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, "Something's different about you. You have been through the ringer. I know you've been through the ringer." You know, especially if it's somebody that knows you. Maybe a relative, maybe from work, maybe from school, maybe a friend down the street, whatever it is. "Man, you have been through the ringer, and yet how can you be so happy?" Anybody ever say that to you? "Well, I can be so happy because you know what? God wins. All of this is temporary. I know that I have a place in heaven. I know Jesus loves me. I know that a lot of crummy stuff happens in this world. But you know what? Jesus loves me anyway. And I know a lot of the crummy stuff that happens, especially in my life, a lot of it's my fault. And Jesus loves me anyway." We need to be able to share that Jesus so that a 16-year-old checkout kid at Walmart can look at us and think, "You know, that's a neat person. I like that person." You know what? A lot of us, you know, a lot of people wear crosses. You know, well, you better behave yourself when you're wearing a cross. You're representing your faith in Jesus all of the time. James said, "Show me your faith apart from your works. I, by my works, will show you my faith." I'm going to show you my faith by how I live my life. And someone's going to look at you and they're going to say, when you're doing it right, "Man, I want what they have. Whatever that is, I want what they have." And then you can tell them, "You know what? It's my faith in Jesus Christ." My favorite line preaching for 25 years, you've all heard it many times before, but laugh appropriately, is, if you tell someone you're a Christian and they're surprised, you're doing it wrong. Okay? People should see that in you long before you ever say anything about being a person of faith, going to church, being a believer. They should see that in your life. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel all the time. If necessary, use words." So we need to be able to find the balance between lady checking out at Walmart and baseball interview. And somewhere in there, you need to be able to defend your faith, explain your faith, and share your faith. And part of that is doing exactly what we saw in this gospel today. And we'll sum it up here. We read from John chapter 12. We read verses 20 to 31. At the beginning of that, a bunch of people come to Philip and they say, "We wish to see Jesus." They saw something in Philip. They knew that Philip was a follower. They saw in the way Philip was living his life that he was a believer in Jesus Christ. And they said, "We want to see Jesus." And Philip went and told Andrew, because Philip wasn't the smartest tool in the box, let's say. You know, I don't know. We're just assuming here. But Philip didn't feel like he had, you know, all the tools he needed to witness to that person. And so he goes and finds Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip together, they bring those people to Jesus. Now, in the gospel story, you know, what we see is them going up to Philip, a group of people going up to Philip, Philip going to Andrew, and then them, you know, physically walking over to Jesus. We take that past all of that, and we go into how we live our Christian lives. And so you don't have to have all the knowledge of the lady at the Walmart with all the right things to say and the right prayer to say and everything like that. But you have to be better than the guy in the baseball interview. And what we do in our Christian life is we mature and we get better. And then when we get to the point of having a lot of knowledge, we realize that we don't need to share it all at one time. All we need to do is live for Jesus. Share that. Be that in this world. Let people see Christ in us, so that they come to us and say, "You know what? I want to see Jesus too." Father God, we ask for your blessing and guidance today as we contemplate these things. As we go forth in this world and seek to live the life that you would have us live, Father, help us to show Christ to others in everything that we do, in everything that we are, not just what we say. Help us to present a loving God to this world so that others will truly be drawn to you, will seek after you, and that we can somehow be vessels of your grace to bring to this broken and hurting world a knowledge of the love and saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.